but major differences. And you don't need to go along with the idea that says that, well, all the Bibles say the same thing, so it doesn't really matter which one you use. No, the Bibles don't all say the same thing. Okay, if you can read, and I know you can, but if you can read, then you just start reading, and you'll see that they don't say the same thing. There are major differences, and so for you and me in the English language, the Bible that clearly does represent the preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God for us living in this dispensation of grace in our language is the King James Bible. Now that's another whole study, that's another whole issue and so forth, and we have plenty of lessons on all that if you want further investigation about that. Okay, well let's continue today then with our present series looking at salvation. But salvation specifically from the tyranny of our emotions. We have talked for a number of weeks now looking at just the doctrine of salvation as a whole. We've looked at salvation from the penalty of our sin. And that is when you trust the blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're saved from hell. And then we spent a number of weeks talking about salvation from the power of sin in the life of a believer. And that's really the process, that's the understanding of our sanctification or our growth as a believer. Then we also talked about salvation from the presence of sin. And that's, of course, the event that we talk about, meaning our glorification or the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. And now we've shifted gears. We are now looking at salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. And I believe this is the fourth week looking at this particular series. These messages are available on our website if you want to study into this a little bit further, a little bit more in depth, and add it to your personal study of the Scripture. But we're looking now at the doctrine of salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. So I want to ask each and every one of us today, do you ever struggle with emotions? Yes, no, maybe. Do you have emotions? Okay. Well, the answer is yes. Okay. If you are a human, if you are of the type of creature called human, you know, Homo sapien, I think it is, whatever, you do have emotions. Okay. And the fact is that our emotions in and of themselves are not bad. Emotions are part of the makeup of just human beings. The big problem is that emotions are out of joint. They're out of place and so forth because of the fall of Adam. And if we have a chance, we will look at that today. If not, we will get to it next time. But just rest assured that if you have emotions, having emotions in and of themselves is not bad. What we want to do as believers, we want to understand how to be saved from the tyranny of our emotions running us. And so often that is exactly what happens, is that we get run by, we're controlled by these emotions that we have, whether it's emotions of anxiety, whether it's emotions of fear, whether it's emotions of anger, or emotions of depression, or discouragement, or despair. Whatever it is, and the whole gamut of emotions. I gave you a homework assignment a couple of weeks ago to make a list of different human emotions that you experience, and of course it's pretty easy to come up with a list of about maybe 6 to 10, but boy, if you make an extensive list, you can easily come up with maybe 30, 40, 50 different human emotions. And we talked about that. You can go and look at some of those details on your own time. But the fact is that as human beings, we all have emotions. Emotions in themselves are not bad. And they are designed to really, the problem is that they're out of place. They want to control us. They want to be in charge of our heart and our thinking process, and that's backwards. As believers, and specifically we're looking at this as believers now, but as believers, the Word of God says we walk by faith, not by sight. And that would include the category of walking by faith, not by feelings. And what happens is that we tend to let our feelings run us. And when we let our feelings run us, then we crash. I mean, we're just doomed to failure and so forth. I talk about as believers. Rather, we want to let the Word of God dwell in our hearts richly. We want to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us. And let that be the basis upon which we operate and think and decide. Okay, so the assignment that I gave 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was I want you to take and I want you to identify 10 or 20 different verses of Scripture where the Scripture clearly identifies the fact that we do have human emotions. It actually talks about those human emotions and so forth. The writers themselves describe the human emotions. So last week, we looked at Job and the emotions that he experienced as he lost his family, his children, his possessions, and then as he was stricken with the physical infirmities that he experienced. So we looked at the extent of those emotions. That's about as far as we got, except that we then looked over at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, where Paul was helping Timothy work through that spirit of fear. I trust you recall that. To 2 Timothy 1, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We will come back to that passage in this series on another day, just not today. Because what we're going to do then today is we're going to continue to look at some more scriptures where the various Bible writers actually describe emotions that they themselves were experiencing and how it is that they really sought to gain, I guess if we could say it this way, gain relief and rest from the emotions that they were experiencing. I'm going to have you turn this morning then over, look for example to Psalms 56. As I mentioned last time, you can go almost anywhere in Scripture and just lay open the Scripture and start reading it. And before too long, you'll come up with a passage that describes the writer experiencing some kind of emotions and so forth. And David in Psalms here is certainly one of them. This would be just one example here. Look over to Psalms 56 here. Look at Psalm 56. See if you can sense the emotion that he describes here. Psalms 56, verse 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." What's the sense that you get that he is experiencing? Well, that oppression from the enemy. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Now, one reason I went to this passage is you can see the writer here clearly describes not only the sense of oppression from the enemies, but the fear then that he experiences. Didn't any of you ever live under fear and you feel the sense of oppression? And more importantly, do you see what David says here as to how he sought salvation from that fear and oppression, and what he turned to find peace? Look at what he says at verse 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." There it is. "In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Listen, those verses right there, listen, there's a lot that David did not understand in terms about what you and I now have in the New Testament, in Paul's epistles, things like that. But boy, David sure understood and wrote about a personal, intimate relationship that he had with God in terms of his coming to understand that in the end, all you really can do and need to do is to trust God's Word. I mean, think about that. When challenges and difficulties come in our lives, when we are controlled by happenings that aren't favorable, when we find that our emotions come along and beat us up and tell us that everything is going to go wrong and everything is bad, we have to realize that doesn't come from the Word of God that's telling us that. That's that spirit of fear. That's that oppression that we feel and experience. And so we really have one of two options. We can either choose, and that's an important distinction here, and recognition, we can either choose to live under the tyranny of our emotions and live under the oppression and live under the dark cloud of that fear and anxiety, or we can choose a different path by choosing a different thought process, which means we're going to choose to rely on and believe and rest in something different than what that emotion is telling us. And you can see exactly what he says here. I'm going to go back to verse 1. Watch what he says. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." Now David is, of course, here talking about his enemies, other human beings who are against him. But do you realize sometimes who it is that daily fights against you is you? You know that, don't you? You don't even have to have someone say a bad thing about you. You don't have to have someone else come and oppress you, because your own emotions, your own thinking process comes along and does it for them. You oppress you. You come along and beat yourself up and tell you that everything's bad, it's never going to get better, and what's the use? He goes on to say here, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." David against here is talking about the multitude of enemies they have. But you and I, we can have the multitude that, he says, the many that fight against me, that those many thoughts that you and I can have that come along and seek to discourage us and defeat us and get us under depression and anxiety and cause us to live in fear, those many voices, and they're coming from within. Again, we don't have to have someone come knock on our door telling us everything's going to go bad today, because sometimes we wake up in the morning and that's the first thought that pops into our minds if you struggle with the tyranny of your emotions. But again, the thing to remember is, look what David does. He says at verse 3, "What time I am afraid," here's what he does, "I will trust in thee." That verse not only expresses the solution and how to be rescued from the tyranny of the feeling of oppression and fear, but it proves that it's a choice. Because he says, "What time I am afraid, I will." There's the choice. "What time I am afraid, I will trust. I will trust in thee." David recognizes that he needed to make a choice. That he could make that choice. And that if he really wanted to be free from that sense of fear and oppression, he knew where to turn. He knew who to trust. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Let me ask you now, what time you are afraid, what time you feel oppressed and in fear and living in anxiety, what will you trust? Or who will you trust? At that moment in time when you're experiencing that anxiety, that fear, that depression, that discouragement, that despair, whatever it is, you have a choice to make. You are in that moment, right then, right there, able to trust God's Word. How do I know that you are able to do that? Well, you're able to think, aren't you? You're able to open the Bible, aren't you? Physically open the Bible, aren't you? You're able to turn to, like 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "For God has not given us the spirit of power, but of love and of a sound mind." You're able to do those things, right? The answer is yes. And if you're able to do those simple things, then you are able, therefore, to take your thinking process, to take the thoughts that you let run through your mind and come out of your heart, and you're able to choose to think differently. And that's what David is doing here. It's amazing to think as well that and I think I mentioned this just a few moments ago, that David didn't have the rest of the Bible like you and I have. David didn't have the complete Bible like you now. He didn't have any of the New Testament. He didn't have any of Paul's epistles that tell us about this amazing grace of God that you and I are part of. He did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit like you and I have. He was not a member of the Church of the Body of Christ. He was not sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And yet he sure understood something about the depth of that personal relationship that he had with God through trusting God's Word. He says at verse 3 again, "What time I am afraid, I will trust." I'm sorry, he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise His Word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." So, it really does, therefore, come back to the question that I think we discussed briefly last time. And actually, not just briefly, we've discussed it both the last 2 weeks in a row. The question really becomes this: is, do we really want to be free of being controlled by the tyranny of our emotions? That's really the question. You say, "Well, yes, I do want to be free." Well, then why are you making the choice that you're making to remain under its control? You remember the joke? I've said it twice now. The old farmer's hound dog, sitting on the porch, whining away, howling away, and disturbing the neighbors. They can't sleep at night because his dog is howling away. And finally, the neighbor comes over and says, "You know, Fred, what's wrong with your dog there? He just whines all the time." And he says, "Well, he's sitting on a nail." And the guy just exasperated says, "Well, why doesn't he get off?" And he says, "Well, because it doesn't hurt enough." See, the dog is getting enough attention by the whining, but it doesn't hurt quite enough to motivate him to get off. You've heard me say that. When I use that joke, please don't misunderstand my intention. I'm not trying to suggest or make fun of the emotions that we experience when we live under the tyranny of our emotions. I'm not seeking to make light of the anxiety, the depression, the despair sometimes that we as believers can experience when we live in those emotions and are run by the tyranny of our emotions. I am using that joke as an example to say it is a choice that we have. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So it means that when we live under that fear, that we're choosing to live in the realm of something that's outside of the gift of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. What has He given us? Or should I say, who has He given us? He has given us Christ, the gift that includes all others. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, the Apostle Paul says. And if He's given us the gift of Christ and the gift of His Word, He's made us alive in Christ. We've been baptized into His death and resurrection. Therefore, Christ is our life. Christ is our resource. Therefore, we really do have a choice. We have a choice of who we are going to let run us. It doesn't mean that, therefore, if and when you make the choice to trust God's Word, that you will never again experience that fear or that anxiety or the depression or discouragement or oppression. Because we do live in the present evil world, that's the truth. Because we do live in a fallen creation, that's the truth. Because we do still have this flesh, those feelings can come up regularly. But because that is the case, therefore, how often, how regular, should we make a choice to, quote, "I will trust in thee"? How often, how regular, should we make a choice, "In God I will praise His Word, in God I have put my trust, I will not fear"? How often do we need to make that choice? How often? Answer my question. How often? Somebody answer my question, would you? Type it in there. I mean, do we need to do that once a year? Do we need to do it like once a month or so forth? We need to do it every moment. How often can you think? How often do you think? Well, you think all the time. You think throughout the day, all the time. That's how often to allow the Word of God to be your stay. That's how often to allow the Word of God to be where you find rest. That's how often to allow Scripture to be that upon which you define and describe and determine what really is going on in life. Because God's Word is what tells us what really is going on in life. It tells us what reality is. And so it is true that every moment you got to trust God's Word. Every moment, find your joy and peace in Christ. Every moment, allow the Scripture to remind you who you are in Christ. That's how often we make that choice. You see, let me use another illustration here. How often do you eat? I mean, once a year, once a month, once a week? No, you eat at least a couple times a day, three times a day, right? Even, and I, you know me, I've got a high metabolism, so I'm snacking all day long because otherwise I'm burning fuel and everything. And so if we understand that simple concept of how we need to eat on a regular basis just to feed our and maintain our physical strength, well, how much more so do we need on a regular basis to take in the living Word of God to strengthen our inner man? I'm going to have you turn now to Psalm 37. This is another place in the Word of God where we see David describing the depths of his emotions and what he did to experience peace and rest from those emotions. This is a pretty cool passage here. And again, this is here in the Old Testament. This is not even in Paul's epistles. So it's amazing how much is available just throughout the Word of God about not only describing the fact of the existence of human emotions, but you can see in passages like this how believers, what they did to be rescued from the tyranny of those emotions. Okay? Now, this time, I want you at Psalms 37. Excuse me, Psalms 37. Watch this. I'm going to start at verse 1 here. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs." Now, let me just kind of talk a little about here what's going on. Is David is, of course, looking at the evildoers, and he sees that the evildoers are, they're not being destroyed, they're not being cut down, they're progressing, they're growing, it seems like they're prospering and doing well. But in his own situation, things are not going so good. And so he's fretting about that. He's worrying about that. He's letting the welfare and state and well-being of the evildoers cause him to fret over that. He's looking at the wrong thing to define reality, his eternal reality in his relationship to God. He realizes that verse 2, he says, "For they shall soon be cut up, cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." See, evildoers are not going to carry the show forever. Evildoers might be winning the day today and this week and next month and next year, but the game's not over yet. The story isn't done yet. And you see what happens is that in the end, they are going to be cut down. In the end, God's Word is going to win. In the end, God's righteousness is going to reign. In the end, God's truth is going to prevail. It just, when you look at the world out there now, and even in David's day, he realized it was a present evil world. Things were not going so good. And so you and I, like David, can find ourselves in circumstances where we look at the circumstances about us, things are not going well, everything seems to be getting worse, whether it's the world, whether it's our country, whether it's our finances, whatever it might be. Unsaved people becoming more wealthy, more powerful, more influential. Those who reject God's Word and reject Christ, they seem to be more influential, gaining more power, more control. And so we can allow that to cause us to fret about it, to worry about it, and consume us. But then we have to stop and realize that, wait a minute, the game is not over yet. And when I say the game, again, I'm not making light of what this is about. I'm just trying to help you understand that if you're into sports and you like sports, like we like hockey and so forth, and sometimes you know your team's not doing so well, getting beat up pretty bad, but the game's not over yet until that last buzzer sounds in hockey, you know, and they can come back. And point is, the game's not done yet. The battle's not complete yet. The outcome is, it's prophesied in the Word, but it's not been manifested yet. And so David recognizes that. He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb." So now watch with us. Instead of looking at the external circumstances and causing that to have, to him, causing him to fret about it, to be all worried and upset about it, watch the pattern here. This is pretty neat. First he says, trust in the Lord. So underline that statement, would you? Underline that statement. Trust in the Lord. Underline it, or mark it, or highlight it. There's the first thing he has to decide. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not. You see the process there? You see how it goes through a complete process in his thinking, and therefore how he gains victory over fret and over fretting and over anger and over losing sight of what is real from an eternal standpoint. This is a, see verse 3? Trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not. See that? Isn't that amazing? Let's look a little more detail. You see, when he senses that he's being controlled and he's fretting about everything, he realizes, you know what I got to do, verse 3? I need to trust God's Word. I just need to trust the Lord. God cannot lie. God made some promises. I can rest in what He says, and therefore I'm going to make the choice to do so. So He says at verse 3, He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Just get on with life. Trust God's Word, just get on. Do good. Regardless of the bad that's going on around you, you just go do good. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, of course, for David, David understood that he was going to dwell in the land in that kingdom, and he would be fed in that kingdom. The specifics of that verse, understand, don't apply to you and me today, in the sense of we're not going to be in the physical kingdom on the earth, but you and I are going to dwell in the heavenly places. We are going to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. See that? So that means that regardless of the external circumstances that David was experiencing, they were not going to determine his eternal destiny. Same with you and me today. Regardless of the external circumstances that we experience, and then therefore, regardless of how we tend to define those external circumstances and let them, and then we let our emotions run us and everything, that's not what's going to determine our eternal destiny. We shall dwell in the heavenly places as members of the body of Christ with the Lord. So let's first make a decision. I'm going to trust God's Word. I'm going to make that choice to trust in the Lord. That God cannot lie. He will bring His Word to pass. He has not given me that spirit of fear. He has placed me into Christ. And then He says at verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, a way that the Apostle Paul would say it, here when David says, delight thyself also in the Lord, look at how the Apostle Paul would say it. And I'm not correcting David, I'm just saying that instruction is a little bit different, except it's kind of the same. Look over to the book of Philippians. Watch this. Watch this. Look over to Philippians, chapter number 4. And we're going to come back to Psalms 37 here momentarily, so don't let go of that. Look over to Philippians chapter 4. Watch this. David said back there, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Paul says it this way, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So, how often should we rejoice in the Lord? I'm asking, how often? Someone type, I mean, once a day, once, yeah, how about always? Again and again. Amen to that. With the heart and Carol and Christy and, you know, just again and again. Absolutely. How true. We have to, look how Paul said, I'm going to come back to chapter 4 there momentarily, but look how he said in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul says, it does not grieve me. It does not cause me grief to have to tell you this again and again and again and again. Instead, for you it's safe. There's spiritual safety and well-being in being reminded, in being told again and again and again that we need to find our joy in Christ. I mean, think about that. You look at the world out there, there's not much joy going on. Well, then why would we be looking to the world as a source of our joy? Instead, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Go back to chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is right there. Next time that you feel like and that you're experiencing the tyranny of your emotions, the sadness, the depression, the anxiety, the fear, the anger, whatever it is, go read those verses. Go read those verses and make a choice to do what the verse says. Find your joy in Christ. Realize that the Lord is at it. The Lord is right there. He's at hand. That means He's accessible. He's at hand by His Word and by Him indwelling you. He's right there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. Keep is the sense of like guard, protect, stabilize your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we are experiencing sadness, anxiety, depression, discouragement, fear, our hearts and our minds are all out of whack. We're all nervous. We're all fearful. We can't think clearly. So we need something to come along and keep, that is, guard our hearts and our minds. And what is it? It's trusting in God's Word. It's rejoicing in Christ. And that's why I say, if you go back to Psalms 37, David said back here, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. David said, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Paul says that He shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5, back in Psalms 37, 5. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, how do you and I do that today? That is the same thing. You make a choice. I'm going to trust God's Word. I'm going to move forward in life just one step at a time. You don't run. You just walk one step at a time. We walk by faith. It doesn't say we run by faith. We walk by faith. So that's just one step at a time. You move forward by trusting God's Word. Commit, when He says there, commit thy way unto the Lord. Again, David is thinking about it from his dispensation, from that information. You and I think about it from the standpoint when it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Just talk to the Lord about everything. Commit it to Him and then move on. That is, walk by faith. Face life one step at a time. Face the challenges of life one step at a time, trusting God's Word. He says at verse 7, and back at Psalms 37, verse 7. Oh, this is so important. Psalms 37, 7, he says, rest in the Lord. You've heard me say many times over the years, and not because it's original with me. I mean, I also have to learn and continue to learn these things. That one of the most amazing things about living under grace is that we can rest and enjoy who God has made us to be in Christ. But one of the most difficult things is to learn how to rest and to make a choice to do so. Some of us are wound up so tight, man, you just can't rest. You just got to constantly be moving. Well, spiritually, we need to learn how to just rest in Christ. Rest in the reality of His grace. Rest in the fact that we are beloved by God, because He loves us with the same love that He loves Christ. So David says there, rest in the Lord is amazing. And then he says, verse 8, I'm back at 37:8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not, and so forth. You can go back and read the rest of that verse, but isn't that an amazing passage? David didn't know what you and I know, but I'll bet David understood some things that you and I don't understand. Just because the depth of the struggles and hardships that he experienced that brought him to the place where he realized that really the only thing he could do is to rest in God's Word, to trust in God, to find peace in Him. And having done that, David found, wow, not only is this the only thing I can do, this is the thing to do. Listen, the way you're saved from the tyranny of your emotions, and I'm talking as a believer now. If you're not a believer, it's a whole different issue. But if you're a believer now, and I know you are, is you have a choice. You have a choice to let those emotions of anxiety or fear or depression or anger or despair, whatever it is, you have a choice to listen to those emotions and then let those emotions tell you what reality is, and then let those emotions run you, and run you down, for sure. You remain captive to those emotions. You remain bound by them. Or, you can say, wait a minute now. God has not given me the spirit of fear. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I do not have to be entangled again with the bondage of these emotions that want to run me. I do not have to be bound and held down by these emotions that want me in its prison. Instead, Christ has set me free. God's Word sets me free. God has given me His Word. He's given me the indwelling Holy Spirit. Christ is my resource. He is my life. And I really do have a capacity and ability to choose who I'm going to trust. And therefore, where I'm going to go to find refuge and peace and rest and joy. So I'm going to choose to go to God's Word, to see what He says, to believe what He says, and to find that joy and that peace in Christ. Now, I want to end with a brief exercise. I know we're out of time here, but let me just end with, we're all going to do an exercise right now. Okay? By the way, that's right, Christy. You got to read the verse till it works. But realize, it will work even if you read it the very first time. So, just to clarify what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying there, it's a very good point. Don't just read it so you keep it in your form, in your mind. But each time you read it, make a choice, I'm going to believe it right then as well. Because it will work even the very first time. But like you're saying, keep reading it because we all need to be reminded about it, right? That is so true. So thanks for posting that. Let's do a quick assignment here. Let's just do a quick exercise. Just to wrap this up because we're out of time. Give me a few more minutes here. Okay, I want you right now to think of something that does cause you fear and anxiety and stresses you out and causes you to be perplexed or angry about something or causes you to be terrified. I want you to think, you're saying, wait, John, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Yes, you do. So do it right now. Right now, for just a minute. Think about whatever it is that causes you to experience or to be under that emotion of fear, anxiety, depression, despair, perplexity, whatever it is. I want you to think about it. Right now, think about it. And you say, well, actually, John, I've been thinking about it all along, this whole lesson. Okay, that's fine, but just think about it right now. Okay? Now, how do you feel right now? As you think about it. How do you feel? You probably don't feel so good. You probably feel under that cloud, that darkness. You probably feel like you're under the control of some monster that lives in your house, an unseen monster, an unseen being that's in your house and it comes and gets you the moment you wake up and has control of you until you go to sleep at night. And you're under that monster's possession and control. Right? Okay, fine. Yeah, we're very tight, stressed out. Okay, well now, let's shift gears now. Okay, let's do something different now. What I want you to do right now, I want you to think about something different. I want you to think about something in your life that causes you joy. Or an event that happened that brought you peace or happiness. I want you to think about something that does bring you peace and causes you to calm down and rest. I mean, maybe it's sitting out by a campfire and reading a good book or somewhere. Maybe it's walking on the ocean. I don't know. You decide. But just think about something that actually causes you to calm down a little bit. Are you thinking about it? Maybe it's spending time with your children. Maybe it's spending time with the saints and the Word of God. That's always a good one. Maybe it's going to Bible conference. Maybe it's riding the bike. Maybe it's going out for a walk with your dog where you just can kind of calm down and you can think clearly. And okay, so are you thinking about that right now? Okay, right? So think about that. How do you feel now? Notice you feel better, don't you? Notice it's like the cloud breaks up and the sunshine kind of comes through. That evil monster, that unseen monster beast that was in your house controlling, all of a sudden he lost his grip, didn't he? Now what did that just demonstrate? Right here, just within about 1 or 2 minutes, we demonstrated the fact that you have a choice as to what you're going to think. And therefore, you can be free. You can be saved from the tyranny of your emotions. And the way that you're saved from the tyranny of your emotions is you make that choice to find your joy in Christ. Find the purpose and meaning of your life in who you are in Christ. Find your peace in God's Word. Find your rest in your relationship to God and His love for you. You make a choice. Will the fear come back? Yes. Will the anxiety ever come back and visit you again? Sure it will. Will the depression ever come back sometime? It's going to knock on your door today. So what do you do when it does? The same thing. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Those emotions of fear, anxiety, depression, man, they're knocking at your door. They're banging on the windows. They're trying to pull the screen down. And God, you know what God's Word says? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God. See that? Well, we have a whole lot more to study. But certainly, we can see, like David, that David realized whatever it was causing him to fear, experience threat or oppression. He realized, you know what? I need to trust God's Word. I got to go back there. Never get away from God's Word. I got to get back to the Word of God and trust what He says. Find my praise in Christ, in Him. Well, let's open this up for any questions or comments or additional thoughts that anyone might have. If you do, just click on the raise hand icon. We'll give you the microphone. If you don't have a microphone, you certainly can still type your question or comment in, and we would encourage you to do so. Hey, Scott, how are you there? Let me give you the microphone, and then CW Beloved is up next. Here we go. Again, by the way, if you do not have a microphone, you can type your comment or question in. Here you go. Well, thank you as well, Scott. I tell you, we are getting a lot of really, really good feedback on the series. Obviously, emotions is something that we as human beings, even though we're saints of the Most High God, that we all experience. And so we're getting a lot of a real good positive feedback on this. You know, we all struggle with emotions. We all have issues like that. And the common denominator that we all... just as I hear the feedback and get emails and that type of thing on this, and is it, wow, you know, we're number one, we're all in the same boat because we all have the same flesh, but we're all in the same boat because we're all in the same Lord Jesus Christ, and it's God's Word that's the answer. So, yeah, by all means, Scott, thanks so much for your comments there. By the way, just real quick, Scott, I think you mentioned that you actually were now connected via satellite dish. Was that correct? I'm kind of curious about that. Maybe... let me give you the microphone back, if you could just kind of briefly talk about it. Because I guess you're not at home right now, but somehow you're able to be connected by satellite dish.
Yes, sir, John. That's part of the gauntlet there. Kelly and I and my wife, we bought a home back in February, and the idea was to move out of Albuquerque into northern New Mexico near Abiquiu Lake, and... Shortly after we bought the home, the well went dry and a few other things. And so my wife hasn't even been able... We've had it for 8 months, and my wife hasn't even been able to spend the weekend in it. And it's been a little bit stressful on all aspects of everything. So, and I'm up here now trying to establish permanent residence. I'm separated from my family at the present time, which I don't like. Hopefully, Kelly will be up here in the boys up past Saturday. And just got connected through, it's called Exceed. It's a satellite service on 10 gigabytes per month for, I think, $50 a month. And it's a little pricey, but it does allow me to access the internet and be part of the fellowship, and that's a huge priority. But hopefully, right now, I just volunteered at the senior center, and there was some things going on there that were pretty exciting. Just yesterday, a lady had fallen down, and a few other things. And that's where I think you gotta, the emotions can get there, like you're saying, and just step back and say, okay, but anyway, there's this lady had fallen outside, and so we're up there trying to pick her up, and this sort of said, oh, a little bit of drama, because we're pretty remote up here, and. But for the most part, right now I'm presently trying to find gainful employment. And, you know, it's sparse around here. There's some oil fields up in Lindreth and Farmington, which is about 130 miles away. So I'm out on the search for gainful employment. So it's a trying time for my family. There's no doubt about it. But, again, like you're saying, we can't let the... those situations are going to be there, period. And I think we got to recognize them for what they are and just do the best. I mean, like that one verse said, you mentioned something like... it was in that song, but what came to mind, like you mentioned hockey, and I was thinking, you know, when you're playing hockey and a guy loses his helmet, he's not going to go back and look for his helmet. He's going to go for the goal and take care of business. or any other sports for that matter. A guy, you know, if he's playing football or whatever, his jersey gets ripped off or his hat helmet flies off, he's not going to go back and get the helmet. If he's carrying the ball and he's almost going to get a touchdown, he's not going to go. You know what I mean? You just keep going forward. You keep moving forward and pressing on to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And, yeah, there's going to be challenges, and that's the thing too. It's grace is it can be scary at times. There's no doubt about it. But it's I know that's where God wants us. He wants us to live in His grace forever. So yeah, it's a marvelous thing. So I'm taking up the mic here, sir. Sorry about that. Thank you, and have a great day, saints.
Yeah, Scott, and thanks for sharing that with us. We do appreciate that. I did get your email about, you mentioned you volunteered at that place, so no doubt you'll have many, many opportunities to minister to people there. So you're right in a good spot there, so thanks for sharing that all with us. Appreciate that. And CW Beloved, I think you had the mic next. I'm not sure if you have a microphone or not, but let me release the mic if you do go ahead and take it and you make a comment. If you don't, just type your comment or question. Here you go, Christy.
Hi, can you hear me? Yes, I met you too. Okay, great. I was just wanting to make a comment about when I wrote read, read, read the verse. I know for personal experience of going through something like death or stepping away from the body for a while, you can be intertwined with not being intertwined with the words. And or when people are dealing with anxiety, when it gets to that point, sometimes just reading the verse over and over and over when you're dealing with heavy anxiety, it really helps. It works. And it's definitely been for me in my past experience of saving grace. So that's more of what I was trying to say at that time in regards to, because, you know, definitely it can and it does. Especially once you've got to that point where you're more intertwined with the word, that when you read it, it relieves you of the bondage of the thought or the emotion of which direction you're going, and needing to be keeping your mind on track of what God's plan is for you, which is grace. And that's all I have to say, but thank you so very much.
And thank you as well for sharing that, because you're exactly right that sometimes when we struggle through something, the verse is right there, and sometimes we just, by reading it again and again and again and again, at least a couple things happen. One, at least we're going back to the right place, you know. Like you say, you read the verse again and again, so you don't turn away from it, you turn to it. And it might just take some time for you to really allow it to sink in, but like you say, it finally does, and it will, and it can. And so regardless of what each of us are experiencing in our lives and so forth, it's just so vital to stay in the Word of God, so vital to stay in the Word of God. So thanks for sharing that. It's really good to hear from you, by the way. And Tom and Jamie, or Jamie, thanks for your comment there as well. Everyone else. So thanks for being with us here. Let's just close in a word of prayer. We will continue this series next Wednesday. We are not having our regular Wednesday evening study tonight. We're having to get together over at Anne Marie and Josh, her folks and everything this evening. So we won't have a regular Wednesday evening studies, Christmas Eve, and so forth. So we're anyway, but we'll be back on track next week. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can spend some time studying Your Word. There are a lot of things that we all share in common with one another. One is that we do all have the flesh, and we do all have those ups and downs and those things that we struggle with this in our thinking. And we know that we're not alone in that, because even the Apostle Paul talked about the struggles that he had. He says things like, though he walked in the flesh, he did not war after the flesh. He himself wrote about those emotional battles and struggles that he experienced, the sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Without were fightings, within were fears. He writes about that. So we know that even the Apostle Paul, the one to whom you gave this information to, that he even himself battled with these issues. And God, in battling with these issues, he wrote down not just the fact that he experienced them, but the solution, the salvation from those emotions. And so we look forward to continuing studying this series, and therefore to allow Your Word to work in us like it worked in him, because we know it can and it will. And God, we thank You that You saw fit to write all this down. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that You tell us again that it's not You that has given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, a mind filled with Your Word, a heart filled with Your love for us. What an amazing truth that is. So we thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Do enjoy the rest of your day today. And again, rejoice in the Lord. Let's all together find our joy in Him. Thank you now. Bye-bye.